that even with wisdom, apart from God, wisdom is in vain. It doesn't help us to find meaning or to enjoy life. And so he's, as it were, running a test on different possibilities for what can bring meaning and joy to life. And in this chapter, he tries three different experiments, as it were. The first being that he will test himself with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But as soon as he said it, he admits that this was vanity. As I was reading this passage, this second chapter, I thought of an old Rolling Stones song. I didn't know it was the Rolling Stones. I had to Google it. But I remembered the song from when I was younger. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. But I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. But I get no satisfaction. I think he read, or they were reading, Ecclesiastes perhaps. Or at least they were living what the writer here is talking about. Whether this indeed is an older and wiser Solomon or whether this is the persona of a Solomon, certainly we're presented here with one who has both the wisdom as well as the wealth that Solomon was provided with. And he's not careless in this. He's very controlled. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad; of pleasure, what use is it? I search with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom. He's testing and seeing if laughter and frivolity, comedy, can bring joy to life. He's testing if alcohol, not in an uncontrolled or unrestrained way, he really wants to find where can he find satisfaction in life. And then he thought, well, maybe a little bit of folly, just being foolish. Maybe that's the way to find meaning in life. Just run wild for a few years. I think the Amish or Mennonite, when the young people get to be about 18, they let them run loose for a year or two, and then they sort of get off the reservation and do everything non-Amish, and then they come back and I guess they get it out of their system. But as we read these opening verses especially, I don't know if you noticed it, but we keep stumbling over the word I. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. Notice not only is it I, but it's all plurals. He's doing this in big scale. He's really trying to see, can he find pleasure in just whatever abundance he can indulge himself in. And it seems like he's trying to recreate a secular Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Pools and plants and trees. Right in the middle of the desert and the wilderness, he bought male and female slaves and had slaves. He had all these people to work for him. He had great herds and flocks. And we read in Kings just how many animals a day were required for the feeding of his palace staff. 20 bullocks and 40 sheep, or I forget what each day, but he needed so much. He gathered money, silver and gold, the treasure of kings and provinces. He got singers with a little bit of music. share the heart and the soul. And even sex, many concubines, the delight of the children of man. And yet, he says he became great with all these things and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. And he still had his wisdom. And with all this self-indulgence, he sought to gratify his desires. He says, I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then, at first he thought he found it, but then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. It is so easy to pursue our own pleasure. And when we do it apart from God, it becomes empty and gives us nothing. Whether, for example, drugs or alcohol, it keeps taking more and more and more. You never get enough to get the same effect from it. They say the same thing with pornography. It just destroys genuine desire and satisfaction, and you never get enough. And whether it be money or whether it be possessions, he's reflecting on, he had it all, and yet he says, I had nothing. It was vanity. It was chasing after a wind. Apart from God, these things could not satisfy him. And so he raises the question, well, I've already looked at wisdom once. Is there anything about wisdom that might bring satisfaction? And then he notes, well, there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there's more gain in light than in darkness. It's better to be walking in the light than in the dark. You won't trip over something, hopefully. But then he realizes we all die. The wise die just like the fool. And when I die, so what have I gained? Even wisdom, the fact that it has some benefit over foolishness, suddenly it's not very satisfying anymore. It just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. Why be wise if you wind up where the fool winds up? Furthermore, he says, when you're wise and you die, people don't remember you. They're not grateful for your wisdom. You're soon forgotten. And so he says, I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and is striving after the wind. Under the sun, without God, whatever we do, it will wind up being empty. It will wind up being empty. And so then he thought, well, what about work? And, you know, this chapter could have been written yesterday. He talks about the pursuit of pleasure. What does wisdom get you? And workaholics. And he talks about, he hated his toil, in which I toil under the sun, seeing you must leave it to the man who will come after me. What comes from all our work? He said, all the gain we get from our work, we work hard, we work long hours, and when we die, it goes to somebody else, and we have no control over who it goes to or how they use it. And why go to all that trouble? But furthermore, he says, when you get into that striving, with your work, when you get caught up trying to create value, create meaning in your work, not only is your day wasted, but you can't go to sleep at night. Because the work just grips you and you're caught, as it were, on a treadmill that just won't stop. And instead of joy, you're becoming sorrow, because all of your effort is getting you nothing. It's not providing the satisfaction. There's wise warning for all of us in all of this. We all have our own pleasures, things, hobbies, or fancies that we perhaps try to escape the pressures of life. We're all subject to trying to create value in what we do. And yet, as he points out, are we putting something ahead of the Lord? Because under the sun, it's all vain. It's not going to give us satisfaction. We can try, and we can try, and we can try, but we won't get no satisfaction if we do it under the sun. And so in verse 24, there's suddenly a strange reversal. He says there's nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. He just allows, as it were, God just a brief glimmer to shine upon him. And he says, you know, in the midst of all the struggle, if we will but accept each day as it comes, as a gift from God, then simply eating and drinking and finding some benefit in our work, if we know that it's from God, then we can be satisfied. And that kind of language is echoed in the New Testament. It's echoed by Jesus. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough care of its own. God will take care of you. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the plants. Look to the Lord. Receive it as a gift from Him. Rather than keep fighting and trying to establish on your own apart from God. And that's the lie that we all fight against. If I only try a little harder, only work a little more, only pour a little more money into this pleasure, only pursue that pleasure a little bit more, that we can find joy and satisfaction. And it says, to the one who pleases Him, to the one who pleases God. And of course, the one who pleased God fully was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has become for us wisdom from God. He gave up His life and found it. And He tells us if we give up our life for God, we'll receive it back as well. Many of these things that He was doing are not wrong. To plant trees and to gather crops and even to build things in and of itself is not evil. But the danger is when we do these things under the sun. Even labor, when done as unto the Lord, we will get our reward from Christ. We're told by Paul in Colossians 3:23, you know, to slaves, you know, do what you do as unto the Lord. You're serving not man, but God. The end of 1 Corinthians 15. You know that your labor in the Lord will never be in vain. Here, he's saying, under the sun, it's all in vain. But we can know that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. And that's the challenge, is to keep the Lord and His light shining on our everyday life. That we don't get lost in our own distractions or in our own toil or even in our own wisdom. Because we can do virtually anything either apart from God or with God. And if we do it apart from Him, then it will be meaningless, because we can't hold on to it. And when we die, we have no control over what happens to it. But our labor in the Lord is not in vain. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we'll have what we need, and we will be able to serve the Lord and find meaning in life. But it's a constant battle, a search for satisfaction, wanting our lives to make a difference. And yet if we do it only in the horizontal plane, we will find no joy. Now if we're stuck, if we will but allow a little light from heaven to come, that we might begin by receiving life, even as we experience it now, as God's gift to us, rather than as our gift to God, if we can get away from the I, me, my, myself, and begin to see Him and you, then perhaps we will please the Lord and we will find real wisdom as well as joy and satisfaction. But to the one in rebellion against God, it says, to the sinner He's given the business of gathering and collecting, but they can't keep it. It's only given to the one who pleases the Lord. So, rebellion against God is vanity, a striving after wind. Only God can bring meaning to our life. And Jesus is the one who came and showed us how to be wise, because He was God's own wisdom. And He lived for God, not for Himself. He didn't come to do His own will, but the will of His Father who was in heaven. And in calling us to follow after Himself, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him, He invites us to walk in the way of wisdom. A wisdom that is not under the sun, but under the Son, S-O-N. And that is the only place where we will find real satisfaction in this world. It's a challenge for me to think about, are there certain hobbies or distractions that I tend to lean on and use just for myself? Are there things that are there times when I try to live on my own strength apart from God? God gives us gifts, and the gifts are good, but we can even use gifts on our own strength and not for Him. Whether gifts be talents that He gives us or provisions that He provides for us, if our focus is only on ourselves and on what we can see in this world, it will be in vain and we will not be satisfied. So may you find your satisfaction in Him. That's what the teacher's doing, is he's stripping it all away and saying, where's the satisfaction? There ain't no satisfaction except what you can receive as a gift from God. So may we find our satisfaction in that greatest of gifts, even our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do find our hearts challenged by the unrelenting
logic, the continual piling up of pleasure upon pleasure, of indulgence upon indulgence. And yet, though it seemed at first to satisfy, it was ultimately empty. And Lord, it's easy to chase after fantasies of any number of kind or variety that offer the promise of satisfaction and yet wind up only empty because they're sought apart from your wisdom, apart from your grace. Truly, only your gifts will satisfy the longings of our hearts. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Show us how to use our energy, our talents, our gifts for you, that our labor might not be in vain, that we would not be chasing the wind, but that we, by grace, might leave a heritage and a legacy of faith that will last to eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.